episode of A Week Late is brought to you by FenEntertainment.com, offering the very best in free independent music from the great sunny state of Florida and beyond. Download underground hip-hop, rock, industrial, drum and bass, dubstep, ska, drumstep, jungle, and much, much more. From single tracks to full sets, albums, and remixes, all for free. Plus the latest videos that get you up to speed on all the current tech, art, music, video games, TV, movies, pop culture, and even anime. No ads, no pop-ups, no flashy distraction banners, and it's absolutely free. Never charge for anything. For all this and more information, go to www.fenentertainment.com.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of A Week Late Podcast. My name is Darren, a.k.a. Analysis489, and once again with me is my brother David.
Greetings, everyone.
This is episode 39, I believe. Crap.
Or possibly 40.
One of those. And we're doing it quick style because, once again, we failed to plan correctly and... First of all, happy Labor Day? What's today?
Veteran? No, Labor Day? Yeah, I think.
Labor Day. Happy Labor Day, everybody. This is a special episode because we're doing it, we're releasing it on a Monday versus the usual Sunday. Figured we'd take a couple days off. There wasn't like a midweek episode or anything, so I didn't want to go to consecutive days, release days without one. This time we're going to go see Expendables 2. We recently watched the first one. If you want to go back and listen to the Expendables episode we did, I think we got it on Netflix. We watched it at
yeah,
the house.
Yeah, it was.
And, yeah, so go back and pay attention to that. Everybody's back. Stallone.
Statham.
Statham. Jet Li. Randy Couture. Dolph Lundgren. And showing up in this one, which was a big buzz, green light, is our good friend Chuck Norris.
Sweet.
I am donning my Chuck Norris shirt today in honor of Expendables 2. And we're recording this actually on the way to the theater inside an MRS, mobile recording studio, for those that don't know what that means. So we're going to get right into it because we really only have until we pull into the parking lot to get this done. So it's going to be a super quick intro, probably quicker than any of the other ones we've ever done. And what are your expectations going in knowing what the first one was about?
Well, you know, the first one was, you know, a little over the top, you know, exaggerated explosions and, you know, really good eye candy for those that like, you know,
that
shoot 'em up movies and... I expect more of that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm kind of interested to find out, like we talked about before, what are the new characters, what are the new roles of these other, you know, action flick type movie
right.
guys? Because, I mean, how many more can you pack on?
Well,
you know?
Speaking of which, already announced in part 3, Chuck Norris is not returning, but we're getting Nicolas Cage and The Rock.
Oh, wow.
So, I don't know how true that is, but obviously it's just rumors for now. But apparently these movies are doing quite well in the theater. I mean, apparently it doesn't take that much to make because they kill it at the box office, from what I understand. But this weekend was also the re-release of the Avengers movie because they're only $40 million away from breaking the Titanic's global record.
Mm.
So they re-released it for Labor Day to see if they can't make that money back. So it's up against a bunch of other ones. I mean, Campaign is still in the theaters. We haven't gone to see that one yet. I don't know if I'll be able to do a show on it. But
I'd like to. That one looks funny.
Going back to what you said, though, my expectations, it's like I had one of the problems I had in the first movie was that they never really explained why they were put together. Like, they never really explained why they were expendable. They never, all of a sudden, we just dropped in and these soldiers exist and we don't know why. We all know they're mercenaries and they're getting paid by contractors for some reason or another somehow. But the movie also plays out like these guys are immortal, you know? So, I'm interested to see where the storyline goes. So I'm going to go, I guess you're saying that you have high expectations.
Not really. I'm just expecting the same as before. I mean, if it's not over the top, then they didn't do it right.
Right. Yeah, I would agree. That being said, I would hope that if Chuck Norris isn't coming back, and we already know that ahead of time, does that mean that's a spoiler that he died?
Yeah, I thought about the same thing.
In this one, or
Chuck Norris can't die.
Yeah,
I don't think he would agree to that.
Can't kill Chuck Norris. I just don't think he's gonna come back.
Yeah.
But I'm interested to see if they knew that in the movie, how they were gonna write him out, or because they did a whole weird thing with Dolph Lundgren's character, him being on both sides in the first one. What I want to check out in this movie are the trailers, and hopefully I remember most of them because we're supposed to be getting a new turnover of trailers, because Expendables has been in theaters for probably 3 or 4 weeks now, we'll see. So that's the intro, unless you have something to add.
Well, no, I was just going to say that the last two I've seen on commercials for, they've said it's been the number one movie the last 2 weeks in a row. Well,
right.
Since its opening. So, I expect it to be...
Well, Lawless came out this weekend with Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Okay, right.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt has 3 movies in the theater right now. He's huge.
He's running it.
He's running it. Another one is... I remember the tag name. Ride Like Hell.
Oh.
He plays a bicycle.
Yeah.
I don't know how good that's going to be.
I've seen a couple trailers for it. It looks
okay.
Enough,
yeah.
Yes.
I don't know how you can make
different
an exciting
concept.
Movie about a bike messenger.
Well, in New York City, Manhattan.
True.
Yeah.
It's probably more exciting than we think it is.
I bet you it is.
So yeah, check that out. Go watch Expendables 2, and then we'll see you for the second portion of a week late episode. Blah blah blah. For Expendables 2. On Labor Day. Cheers. Everybody, to part 2. It has been confirmed it is episode 39 for The Expendables 2. We just got done watching, and I want to say, first of all, that I thought that I had forgotten to mention this guy, Mickey Rourke, but he didn't come back in this movie. So instead we got Schwarzenegger and more of Schwarzenegger, because he made a cameo in the first one. This time around, he was in it a little bit more, actually a lot more, for about the second half of the movie. I don't really think that's a spoiler. Bruce Willis came back. And we did, in fact, see Chuck Norris for longer than I expected, actually. So,
and one thing to note, they kind of swapped out Jet Li.
Yeah.
The female type.
What happened there? Because, well, I don't really know if that's a spoiler or not, but, well, I guess let's get into the ratings so we can talk about it. We both went into this movie sort of expecting the same sort of routine as the first one, and I think we got it. My expectations were pretty much met. The first one, I think, was a little more over the top and not based in reality, kind of. And we were talking on the way back to the car, the MRS, about how the first one, it was about grandiosity, like how big can we make these explosions and stuff like that. Now I noticed that Sylvester Stallone didn't direct this one this time around, but he did have something to do with the screenplay. So he still probably executive produces it and stuff like that. So there was sort of a balance given, because like you said, what happened to Jet Li's character? Like, we didn't see him.
He went with the first package, and then he even said, I might not. I might start a new life. So it sounds like kind of like he might not be in the next one if there is, you know.
It's strange how they only had him in like the first half of the movie. Again, that's kind of a spoiler, but he does get swapped out, not surprisingly, by another Asian, but it's a female this time, and she's sort of like a consultant, tag-along, tech geek, slash murderer. I don't really know. A lot of her background wasn't given. She was kind of mysterious. But anyway, the stuff that was taken away from the first one but added in the second one sort of balanced it out.
But I think edged it out as a little bit better than the first. The
storyline was definitely more fair, more put together this
right.
time around. But within the first 5 minutes of the movie, people's heads are exploding, literally. So you get that same sort of... I don't know, gore factor.
Yeah.
And the closer, like, hand-to-hand combat, like that Jason Statham did this time around.
Yeah, he really shined in this one because of the hand-to-hand combat.
I thought that was great.
I mean, it combined the gore, because, like, there wasn't a knife slash that you didn't see, like, a gallon of pig's blood being thrown,
right.
you know, thrown across the screen. Like, it was awesome.
I think the blood and the gore in this movie is all special effects.
I'm sure.
It looks like, CG, not just special effects, but
I'm sure.
A lot of it looks animated, or there's just like a splatter to it that I don't know. Maybe that's what it does look like in real life. I've never blown somebody's head off
with a
50 cal.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I kind of forget what I give the first Expendables, because I don't, like you said, I don't want to give it something better. But for a lot of reasons, this movie was better than the first one, I think. I want to say that because I've been relaxing so much on this 3-day weekend, I'm super tired. Like, I'm so, like, relaxed that I feel like I could fall asleep at any moment, and I didn't during this movie, which I think says a lot about it, because I just wanted to see where it went. So maybe it is higher than what I gave the first one, but I want to give this movie like a solid 8.5. Maybe because you can't take it too seriously. When you go in, this isn't a thinking man's movie, in other words. So that being said, I mean, if I was expecting something smart, which by the way, I believe Chris Hemsworth's brother is in this movie. He plays one of the new recruits at the beginning. Plays a big part, actually, in the movie, because, without spoiling it for right now, what happens to him stretches out the storyline of the movie. So I'm going to give this movie a solid 8.5. If I thought it was going to be something else, this movie probably would have gotten, like, a 3 or a 4. But you don't go for the dialogue. There was actually a lot of touching moments
in this movie. I'm telling you, it was a very big... What the first one lacked, this one made up for. There was some sentiment, you know, some sentiment in there. It was just a little deep. The first one had sentiment in the fact that
Mickey Rourke's character
you gotta take life.
brought the sentiment in the first one.
But it was still just a shallow what is life worth type of thing. In this one, it went a little bit deeper and beyond, you know, that. in the sense
there was actually kind of a message.
Right, exactly, in the sense of a message, and you know, and it went beyond the mortality factor, because, you know, just so much. I mean, if this were to portray a real life, I'm serious, it was probably like 1,000 people died in this movie.
Right.
1,000.
Right. That's not exaggeration.
Right.
That's...
So you know, they have to put in the you know, the morality factor in there, but it was well done. You know,
sure.
the plot was deeper, the dialogue was better. You know, there was less explosions, more hand-to-hand stuff, because the Jet Li chick was like
doing things. And more humor too.
Yeah,
Dolph Lundgren was actually funny in this movie.
Yeah, he was kind of charming.
I didn't really like his character in the first one, but he kind of grew on
me. Right.
And like you said, like the sentiment wasn't lost on me at all in this movie. Like, well, give it what you're gonna give it, because I'm about to mention a spoiler.
You know, I don't remember. I think we gave it like an 8 or an 8.5, and I don't want to. I mean, even though it was better, like you said, there was some equilibrium to it.
Right.
So I think it edges it out by a quarter to a half of a point.
Sure.
Of the last rating I gave it, and I think an 8.5 to an 8.75 would be fair if you even do
sure.
it to that finite
do,
level.
Actually, I do anyway.
And so, you know, I think that's a fair assessment of the film. Purely based on rating it from what was rated the last time around. You know, I'm going by what I rated it before,
right.
and not by baselining it off of another type of
right.
action movie or whatever.
I try to not compare it to any other movie,
right.
but as far as sequels are concerned, you really can't not do that.
Right.
So, so you go to the movies to have fun, and if you're expecting anything other than a good time. I mean, I went to this movie for a good time, and that's what I got.
Yeah,
I got
it was
my
actually
word.
Fun. It was funny. It was, you know, entertaining. You know, the hand-to-hand was there. The action was there. It was pretty fair. It was well done.
No real love interest, just like the first one,
right.
really. That didn't really get in the way. It was just action the whole time with some pretty smart... It was actually kind of smarter dialogue and a message in it. So, go check it out. We're going to do something a little bit different here, and I know it doesn't matter to the listeners because it's instantaneous for you, but for the next few weeks, it's going to be hard for me to put out new movie episodes because I'll be house-sitting and dog-sitting for the next few weeks, and the location I'm at doesn't have internet, so it's going to be really hard for me to put a show together without internet. But because of that, we're going to take a break, and then we'll be back, I guess, for a third part. But we're not really going to split it up that much because of the magic of editing. For our listeners, actually, we did a sort of a host interview. I don't know if I've released it yet, but we have done a show from this house that we're going to now. We've done a show from there before. We've recorded from there before. And house of a friend, he listens to the show, and I need to feed his dog, so I'm going to take a break, and we'll be back in a little bit, and then we'll get into spoilers and some trailers and possibly some video game news. All right, we'll be back.
Okay, through the magic of editing, that didn't take any time for you guys at all. We're back, and we're just going to get into the spoiler countdown. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, spoilers. Not that many in this movie, but we already kind of talked about how Jet Li was... Obviously, in the first one, I heard a rumor about Jet Li, which is maybe why he was only in, like, the first half of this movie. The couple of scenes he did have, very few speaking roles in the first one. Like, I even heard the rumor was is that he had more dialogue, but it was, like, you couldn't really understand what he was saying, and most of his lines were dubbed over in the first one. I don't know how true that is. But he did have a couple of badass scenes in this where he kicks some ass. He said a couple of words, and then there was actually, like, much like the first one,
you're thrown into the middle of a mission, and then that mission finishes, and then the real one begins. And I guess we had sort of that same formula here. So when they completed the first mission, they were saving some Chinese billionaire, which is how they ended up running into Arnold Schwarzenegger's character at the beginning of the movie. They're pretty much glorified bounty hunters that are sometimes contracted by the CIA to help in other stuff, and that's where Bruce Willis comes in. So at the end of the first mission where they save the Chinese billionaire, maybe he's not Chinese, maybe I'm...
No, he was.
He was.
That's exactly what they called him, the Chinese billionaire.
And for some reason, they had to not land to deliver the package, and Jet Li went down with, not went down, like died, but they sort of opened a trap door in the plane, and he flew out with the Chinese billionaire, and he was going to go deliver him to whoever he had to be delivered to get paid, I would imagine. So it cleans up a little bit of the mystery for me on why the Expendables are who they are and what they do, but it was really never said, like, it was really never presented to the audience, like, Stallone is the leader, it's his operation,
yeah,
it's his
outfit.
His outfit, right. But I guess we're supposed to just assume that, and then the movie pretty much starts.
It was Hemsworth's brother, by the way.
It was. Liam Hemsworth, that's his name. And we'll get into Hemsworth. Actually, Hemsworth is relevant for two reasons, because Liam, which is Chris's brother, who plays Thor in the Marvel movies, I want to talk about a little bit more of the Expendables, but to mention one of the trailers that we watched, they're remaking Red Dawn. And it's funny how they put that movie in a trailer that has Chris Hemsworth in it, in a movie starring his brother. And I guess we could talk about the Red Dawn trailer here in a little bit, too. One of the other things that I forgot to mention in the first part, and you were talking about the equilibrium that we were mentioning, another person that you get is Jean-Claude Van Damme is in this movie. So we lost Mickey Rourke, and we gained Van Damme and this Asian chick and Chuck Norris, and a lot more Bruce Willis and a lot more Schwarzenegger.
Nan Yu is the Asian chick's name. I think she's been in other, like, kung fu movies. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure she's been in a movie with Jet Li.
I thought it was going to be, like, somebody like Lucy Liu or something like that. Somebody that has actually been in an action movie before that's recognizable. Because the whole point of this Expendables is to throw as many badasses into this movie as you can, and I did not know who she was. That doesn't mean she's not a badass. She actually played a pretty good combat chick. But we didn't see her slice and dice as much as I thought when she opened up her pack. Her thing was like precision torture, I guess, with these knives and like these sutures that you would use for like a doctor's operation. I kind of would have liked to see more than that. You mentioned she was kind of Dexter-ish when she pulled out her her knives and whatnot.
She's been in a lot of films.
Any we know?
Not really. Going back, 2012, Design of Death.
Never heard of it.
Some Chinese movie I can't even say. Two Chinese movies I can't say. Western Sunshine, Weaving Girl.
So
Looking for Jackie. Speed Racer, 2008.
She was in Speed Racer,
yeah.
Huh? Well, there you go. That would be the reason why I don't recognize it. She's probably a huge badass overseas. It looks like.
I'm telling you, I think I've seen her in some movies.
I want to say she was in this movie called Ninja Assassin, but I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know who she is. This is the first time I've seen Van Damme in anything in a really long time.
Right.
What did you think about?
You know, he played a pretty good villain. Like he wanted to have, you know, Stallone, you know, take a knife to his heart at the end. I thought, like,
right.
he played a good hateable character, you know, because, I mean, ruthless, like...
That's a huge spoiler. I'm glad we counted that down.
Heartless, because, like, you know, he killed him.
By the way, spoiler, Van Damme died at the end. That's great.
You know, he took Hemsworth's character out in a really slimy way.
Yeah,
you know, and
he's just the quintessential douchebag,
yeah.
I guess. Which is good, because I don't know how I would have felt about him being played as a good guy,
right.
I guess. One of the things I found funny is somebody told me that it was a stipulation in the contract that Van Damme and Dolph Lundgren don't do any scenes together, but they were in a scene together. They didn't trade lines at all. I think in real life they have a beef with each other. So there's that whole Hollywood thing coming into play, which we haven't seen since the 80s, which I think is funny.
He's a prima donna. He's a friend, you know, whatever.
He's a French guy that knows how to do high kicks. It's pretty much his
gig. I mean, he did like three of them in a row. Like, can you
yeah.
do another move?
can you?
Or is that it?
That's all he's
I
got.
Mean,
I'm surprised I didn't even see any splits.
I'll give him, well, because he's probably like 75 and he just can't do that anymore. But someone who's 70 years old that can still do one of those points.
He looks
kicks.
Like he had a shit ton of plastic surgery done.
Well, I mean, what, you don't think Stallone has? Look at his face.
I don't know, man.
His face looks like Play-Doh. Like, Stallone has had a lot of work done.
Yeah?
Yeah, of course. Of course. Look at that mustache. As fake as all can be.
Really?
It's like that hair transfer from Good Graph.
Oh, he's got plugs?
Yeah.
For a mustache?
For a mustache.
That's terrible.
I'm telling you, look at it.
Our heroes are starting to get old. And they mentioned, that's one of the things I like about this movie. It doesn't take itself too seriously either, because towards the end there, they started throwing out each other's minds,
yeah.
like, to mess with each
yeah.
other. I don't know if that...
It was the best one. Well, one of the good ones was Schwarzenegger and Bruce Willis trading the lines. He's like, you won't be back.
Because, okay, what happens is Schwarzenegger, at the beginning of the movie, says, I'm back, right? And then he says, I'll be back. And then he comes back and says, I'm back again. And then when he says it to Bruce Willis, he's like, no, you've been back. Plenty of times, I'll be back this time. And it was funny because, like...
And then Schwarzenegger goes...
Schwarzenegger says, yippee-ki-yay. So I thought... And one of the funniest scenes was when Schwarzenegger was talking to Dolph Lundgren's character. He's like, can you just untie... What did he...
Yeah.
Can you just untie me, Frankenstein?
Yeah.
It was so funny. Like, they,
the way they ripped... He ripped the door
yeah,
off of
that
the mini car.
One.
He's like, my shoe's bigger than this.
They had a scene in the airport, which, by the way... is the second time we see Chuck Norris, the first time I want to talk about here in a second. Because if you want to talk apparent, tongue-in-cheek, we know exactly the kind of movie we're making, it's the first time Chuck Norris shows up and is like, they even have the... He's like walking in, there's like stuff just finished exploding everywhere. There's literally a pile of dead bodies just hanging out in the corner where they flash you for like 3 seconds, like, yeah, I just killed all those guys by myself. So it was really funny that first time. And then the second time he shows up, and then apparently he's an old buddy. He's written in as an old buddy of Stallone. And they meet, and apparently he's this mythical creature that nobody, like, he's apparently the lone wolf is what they call him. And he's known in the mercenary arena as a myth and a legend, and supposedly he was dead. And nobody ever believed him that he can kill all those people by himself, and then he comes in and shows everybody what he did. He pretty much saves all the Expendables asses in one scene. And then...
Minus Statham.
Minus Statham, because Statham's doing a shit job somewhere else.
Right.
And then where this movie sort of winks at the crowd for the first time, I was like, yeah, I know Chuck Norris. And then he says, Stallone says to him, we heard that you got bit by a king cobra. Is that true? He goes, yeah. Yeah, that's true. After a few days of pain and agony, the cobra died. So that's actually, you could probably find that on ChuckNorris.com or whatever, because he's gone from being this cheesy sort of TV star, in my eyes, to being an actual badass. Because it's so funny that when this whole online stuff about Chuck Norris jokes started coming out, he embraced it, and he didn't sue the people that own ChuckNorris.com. He just made them promise that any money they make had to be given away to charity. And so, like, even the shirt that I'm wearing that's Chuck Norris on it, he's probably not making any money off of it, and there's a thing on the sticker that says what charity he's being donated to. So I think that's pretty cool. He's like, yeah, you can make all these jokes about me as being a sort of a fake badass, but at least make it count for something. And that actually, in my eyes, made him a real badass. Like, come on, he's Walker Texas Ranger. He can jump kick through a windshield in skinny jeans. So I think that says something. The second time we see Chuck Norris is in the airport, and there's this smart car in the lobby, and shit hits the fan, and everybody's shooting each other, and Bruce Willis's character and Schwarzenegger have to run away, and the best thing they could do is find this smart car, and Schwarzenegger walks up to it, and without even trying, the door just flies off. He just rips it off and sits down. He goes, I have shoes bigger than this. And it's funny, because after that, Bruce Willis looks at him, he goes, okay, he turns around and kicks his door out. And so they're like shooting out of a smart car. It's probably one of the funniest scenes I've ever seen with Bruce Willis in it and Schwarzenegger like at the same time. So the comedy and the fun and the action isn't lost on us. We got it. And if you guys want to have fun, I would recommend going to watch it. It's don't expect to come out with a higher IQ than when you went in. If anything, this movie will probably dumb you down, minus the heartfelt speeches about mortality and life and questioning a bigger thing. I liked it. It was decent.
It was very entertaining.
So speaking of, I already mentioned Liam Hemsworth's brother. We all know him as Thor. They're doing a Red Dawn remake. I don't know if you remember, which is funny because I believe Dolph Lundgren was in Red Dawn.
I think he was.
Now that I'm thinking back
a little bit, it's pretty foggy. It's a long time.
For those people that don't know, Red Dawn is an 80s movie, probably hidden in obscurity. And
1984.
There's a group. What happens is, in the original Red Dawn, it was about the Russians coming to the United States and trying
Patrick
to take over.
Swayze.
Patrick Swayze was in it. Wow, he was in it.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Swayze was in it. May he rest in peace. He's dead, right?
Yeah.
Charlie Sheen. Yep. And so what happens is you have all these 80s superstars that are just starting to. I don't know if they're just starting to get big, but definitely up and comers at this point. In the 80s, everybody's an up and comer. I mean, Tom Cruise, up and comer, Top Gun, that kind of stuff. His new trailer looks lame as all hell. That was one of the worst trailers I've ever seen.
They even give the trailer a 1-star.
Yeah, the trailer, well, let's get into it. Tom Cruise is in a new movie. Now, I'm kind of contradicting myself here because I love trailers that don't give anything away.
He's not listed in here.
Who?
Dolph.
Really?
Yeah.
Who played the big Russian?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I might be thinking of another. Might be thinking of another movie with Dolph Lundgren in it where he comes from the USSR in a submarine to the United States and he meets this kid and friends up this kid. Maybe I'm mixing those two up.
It could be a different movie.
Well, Red Dawn, obviously in the 80s, Russia was a main staple in the news with Gorbachev and the wall and Reagan and all that good stuff. So this movie really was kind of ahead of its time because it played on current politics, and you really don't start seeing that until later on in cinema history. But I think for the remake, all these misfits get together, mostly kids, and they start an uprising with a group. They call themselves the Wolverines, and that spawned a bunch of movie geeks, I guess, in the 80s to call their friends, whenever they hung out in groups, they would all be the Wolverines. They'd try to be like this cool thing. But I think for the remake, which has Chris Hemsworth in it and a bunch of other people I don't remember, he's home on leave as a Marine. And they go outside, shit hits the fan, and they have planes, warplanes, and paratroopers. Clearly, I don't know if we saw, do we see a Chinese?
I believe it was Chinese.
I think they, which funny, it still fits because
pretty much the only
communist country left, which Red Dawn the term red, for people that don't know or might, I don't know if this is common knowledge or if it does, if it's not really used as a term that's popular anymore, but red back in the 80s, maybe even still, was a term used to describe communist countries. And obviously at that time it was the USSR and it was communist. Are they still communist?
No, they're broken up into republics. There's very small factions of communism left, but it's not this one big great country like it used to be. In the 84 version, it was Soviet, Nicaraguan, and Cuban troops that invaded.
Interesting.
Because those are the three major communist. I mean, Nicaragua's still...
Now, in the remake, to make it more relevant, I believe the Red Scare in this particular scenario are the Chinese.
Right.
Which makes the whole Red Dawn thing still work. At the end of that trailer, there was a lady up front at the theater, which, by the way, for it being 3 or 4 weeks out, there were a lot of people, not a lot, but a handful of people in the theater still, more than I expected, for Expendables 2. And at the end of that Red Dawn trailer, there was a lady at the very front of the theater. I heard her say quite loud, there's no process in writing anymore. They just steal ideas. It's pretty much the brunt of what she said. I don't know how true that is. It takes a lot of people to get a project off the ground, and while I do scoff a little bit at the idea of a remake, they're all over the place. I mean, Total Recall, that's the only one I can think of right now, but they've been remaking movies way too much lately. There's really no, and she's probably got a point, but I don't know if this movie's trailer was good enough for me to go watch it in the theater. And then... After that, what else do we have? The Possession. We talked about that a little bit, I think, before. The only reason I really wanted to go see this movie was because one of my favorite music acts, Modest Yahoo, plays a Jewish rabbi that tries to help Javier Bardem's daughter exorcise a demon. He's the only reason I would go see this movie. I don't usually like movies about exorcisms and supernatural stuff like that. I went to go see Woman in Black, but that was more of that was just a scary movie. It had nothing to do with, like, you know, possessions. And I think when people make movies about stuff like that, they're basing it, it's more real, because this actual movie is based on a true story, and stuff like this clearly happens, otherwise they wouldn't be making movies about it. But I know it's a lot of Hollywood in there. But I think since these movies are more based in reality, that's kind of what turns me off to them. I would probably just rather go see a documentary on it than to watch a movie based on something that happened. Although the documentary probably would be 10 times more disturbing. What else? What other trailers?
The one that I really wanted to talk about, but I think the name is so dumb, and that's Looper.
I wanted to talk about this too. I'm glad you took notes, because I'm terrible at that. And if I did take notes, I wouldn't be able to access them while I'm recording anyway. So
really?
Yeah, I can't record with the voice recording app on this, and then this is the only app that I have to have active and running. While I'm on the phone, I can check notes.
Right.
The phone still runs in the background as an app, apparently, because even the phone's an app now. Because these are pretty much hard drives with cell phones attached. They're not really phones anymore. So, yeah, for some reason, I don't know why.
I think it makes sense that the mic has to stay active, so if you put the app in the background, it might kill the
phone. Sure.
Who knows?
But I'm glad you did, because you don't like the name. I like the name.
The name is whack. To me, it reminded me of the Dish Network commercial, the Hapa.
The Hapa.
I just got it. The Lupa.
The Lupa. It sounds like a disease too. If you say it. I got lupus.
I think I bet you I can come up with a better name for that movie.
After we see the movie, we'll see what we can come up with. I don't know.
I think I want to see it in theaters.
Me too.
It looks interesting. Plus it's got good old.
Well, I mean, as it stands, we have not scheduled to do any show. I don't call you during the week and say, hey, you want to do a show this weekend?
Off the top.
But I'm glad that you show up, because it's really hard to do a movie review at the theater by myself. Like, I actually haven't done it yet. I don't know why I'm okay with doing Netflix reviews and Hulu reviews for documentaries and stuff like that by myself for middle-of-the-week episodes. But I think the whole premise of the show started out with two people going to the movies and talking about it when they got out, so I kind of just keep that going. Okay, so Joseph Gordon-Levitt, we talked about him in the first part, where he is absolutely everywhere.
Another one now he's in.
Looper is in theaters right no. When does Looper come out?
I'm not sure.
It's not in theaters just yet.
No.
But what is in theaters is Premium Rush, the tagline, Ride Like Hell, which is funny because I was just listening to a podcast and Paul Scheer plays the publicist for Ride Like Hell, so he was trying, or for, I keep calling it Ride Like Hell because every time he was promoting, he just shot the tagline out there. By the way, fans of Paul Scheer, go to How Did This Get Made? Kevin Smith was just on there for, I believe, Spider-Man, or Matt Myra from the Nerdist podcast was on that. Really good, really good podcast. They watch crappy movies on purpose and ask people that were involved making the movie how this crappy crap got made. And then Kevin Smith was on there. He's like, yeah, have me back on. We'll do an episode about Jersey Girl. 28th September. So Looper comes out in
three weeks.
It has, speaking of which, Bruce Willis again, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and
Emily
Blunt is in it. She
Paul Dano.
Plays the, I don't know who that is. She plays the love interest, I would imagine. There was somebody else in this movie. Oh, Jeff Daniels.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see him again. It's been rumored, speaking of Jeff Daniels, that Jim Carrey was back on to do the Dumb and Dumber sequel, but now it's not happening now again. I don't know how true that is, but we'll see what happens with that. What do you think? Okay, so in the trailer we know that it's set in the future, and in the future... rich corporations control time travel.
Not quite.
No?
Not quite.
Did I mishear that?
It's, well, they are rich corporations, but not of the legal type.
Okay.
It's organized crime, because it's outlawed. You cannot, everybody is apparently aware you can travel time.
You can time travel, this is a thing that happens
but
now.
But it's outlawed, and the underbelly of society.
That's what it is.
Dirty
so that's the premise, and Joseph Gordon-Levitt plays a younger version of Bruce Willis.
Which, by the way...
I know what you're about to say, because I wanted to ask you, do you think that the prosthetics work? Do you believe that Joseph Gordon-Levitt could be a younger Bruce Willis?
I don't know what...
Do you think they're trying too hard to make us believe that they look like each other?
I think they did, because to me, okay, so...
I saw a featurette, by the way.
You tell him he had makeup.
It was like 6 hours of makeup to make Joseph Gordon-Levitt look kind of like Bruce Willis in his eyebrows.
His eyebrows, I did it. But I think, who cares?
Jimmy Fallon could do the same thing with his eyebrow and look like Charlie Sheen without makeup.
Have you seen any random picture of, let's say, someone who served in World War II, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of their picture today. Old dude, I mean 85, 90 years old,
mm-hmm.
Okay? And then... him in the Army Air Corps
sure,
in 19
black and white picture.
Does he look the same?
No.
No. So does it matter? Why do you spend so much time? So here's my point. Do you know what they made him look like? If this is a piece of crap TV show, I've always hated it, even though it has a really big following, and it's Nip Tuck. He looks like that fool, one of the doctors in Nip, and I can't stand that. But it seemed to me that that movie was going to... I'm going to overlook
that. I think it's one of these things
overdone
where...
eyebrows.
Yeah, it's like... I think it's one of these things where they stand back and they're like, wow, this really looks like shit. We'll just tell everybody they look alike.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't get it. But hopefully it doesn't ruin it for me. I love anything that has to do with the manipulation of time or time travel.
Yeah, I'm
there aren't enough movies out there like it. Speaking of which... if you're a big fan of those, obviously the show's title is sort of loosely based on Back to the Future. Go watch Back to the Future. Do yourself a favor. If you're a younger listener, if you've never watched any of the Back to the Futures, they still stand up. Great special effects, great storyline. If you have to pick only one to watch, I would say watch the original, but the second one to me is the best one.
Yeah, I was
going to
say the same thing.
There's a movie out there called Primer. It's super heady. I've seen it a million times, and it still never makes any sense to me when I'm done watching it, but the premise is amazing. I can't even try to explain it to you. Just go watch Primer. these movies where, like, there's a... In Time is a good... It's not really a time travel movie, but it's got very interesting concepts set up around the concept of time itself. See that one with Justin Timberlake?
No,
and,
yeah, I did.
This girl with the weird eyes?
It was okay.
I like her, but she's got weird eyes.
Yeah, and I think Justin is a good actor.
I do. I was skeptical talented. About him at first. Once I saw this movie that he was in called Something Dog.
Oh, yeah, Alpha Dog.
Alpha Dog.
That was excellent.
Holy crap.
And that was based...
That was based on a true story. Not loosely, from what I hear, it was super accurate. Especially how they finished it at the end. Like, wow, that movie left a mark in my mind. It's probably one of those movies that I'm only going to see once because it's so disturbing that something like this could actually happen, that people... I mean, go watch it. Alpha Dog. After I saw that, I'm like, let me see what Timberlake is about. And I took him seriously after that.
Yeah, he's very talented.
And he's very funny, because if you Google Cup of Soup...
Oh, yeah.
Holy crap. It's an SNL sketch. It's one of the... I watch it. Like, when I'm in a bad mood, I Google Cup of Soup, and it turns my entire mood around. It's hilarious. What does he say? Kind of gave it up for town. I don't know what it is. It's hilarious. He's dressed up like a cup of soup, and he's got a boombox, and he's
like turf wars between another.
Turf wars between him and another mascot at the food court mall. So funny. I really wanted to see what you thought about that whole Looper thing, because
I want to see it.
Have you seen Jimmy Fallon's impersonation of Charlie Sheen?
No.
Holy crap. He does this thing with his forehead without prosthetics that makes him look almost exactly... It's amazing. His Charlie Sheen is spot on. And then he does a bit with Charlie Sheen. It's all black and white where they make a cologne called Clone. And it's Charlie Sheen and Charlie Sheen talking to himself. It's so funny. Speaking of Charlie Sheen, because he was in the original Red Dawn. That's weird. What else did we
that
see?
Wayne Cruz movie.
At the very end, to top it all off, we saw some pretty decent trailers, and then we cut to, for the first 30 seconds of the trailer, it's footage of a car, for some reason, and then the gas pedal, and a slow pan up to Tom Cruise, and we don't know why he's driving, he's doing some sort of weak voiceover, and then he's in the street kicking a bunch of dudes' asses, And then the trailer ends, and then it has a cheesy title for the character that he plays. I don't know what novel this is based off of or what this is. And like I said, I contradict myself because I like trailers that don't give anything away. This gave nothing away, and I hated it. I have no idea what this movie's about. I don't know who this... Oh, it was called Alex Reacher or something like
that.
Jack Reacher.
Yeah.
I don't know who Jack Reacher is. I've never heard of Jack Reacher before. It's like... John Carter.
Yeah.
That movie tanked because you left out the Of Mars, which would have made it a badass movie to go see.
Well,
I don't know who John Carter is, but I want to know why he's on Mars.
Or how about just title it the name of the book, The Princess of Mars? That would have worked too.
It was from the same guy that did Tarzan.
Yeah. Brilliant.
And, brilliant book. There's a lot more of them out there, and it's a shame that that movie didn't do well because of a marketing glitch that put that movie in the trash. I love, what's his face? Wow, I had a man crush on him and I forgot his name. He was in Battleship and I want to say Ashton Kutcher, but that's kind of an insult.
Yeah. you mean the main character? I don't know his name.
Yeah, he was in Friday Night Lights
and
John Carter and all that.
Good actor.
Yeah, he's good.
I think they casted him well.
Yeah, he's great. I feel bad that Battleship and John Carter didn't do that well.
High-quality film John Carter was. It really was.
It really was good.
The high-quality...
I'm glad that you liked it, too.
Yeah, it was
well,
amazing.
It's a Disney flick,
well,
but it wasn't a Disney flick.
Yeah.
It was more like a Bruckheimer Disney flick.
It had the deep pockets of Disney,
yeah.
But they kind of left it out. To me, it appears they left out the childish, you know, creativity parts of it and just let the director do his thing, I think.
We did an episode on John Carter, if you guys are curious, Jason and I did, and the only thing that I noticed that they left in that was Disney-like was the dog-like alien creature that was there for sort of comic relief.
But it could have been a novel, I don't know. It got me wanting to read the books.
Yeah, there's a ton of them. I was talking before about how it's going to be really hard for me to do a couple more shows from where I'm house-sitting for the next few weeks. I'm going to be doing a lot of recording there, but as far as posting shows, I have limited access to the internet for the next few weeks, and hopefully I'll be able to change some stuff around on my schedule to keep the regular ones going. I don't know if I'm going to do a Wednesday episode because it's already Monday, and because of Labor Day, we're putting this episode out, or that's the excuse I'm using anyway. So I will be playing a ton of video games and doing a lot of never been done before. We did a music episode for Clench Fist that did really well. You know, retro episodes and Hulu and Netflix reviews. I think I'm going to be doing some just exclusive a week late game review shows, because in a house with no internet, you can really only play video games or read books, and I don't read books. So I'd like to read more books because they make you smarter, but I don't. All my book learning is done online. So coming up, I should be doing a review on Mass Effect finally, and a review on Uncharted I'll finally get to play, because the guy that I'm house sitting has a PS3 and I don't own one, so I'm going to go get a used copy of Uncharted and probably do a weekly episode on just video games coming up soon, because I'm going to have time to really record and play through entirely. Anything else you got in your notes that we can talk about?
I think I put in here something that I don't know why I put in here.
What you got?
Did we talk about it already? I don't know why I put that in there.
What you got?
Last Stand?
Oh.
Was that another trailer?
Yes, it was. Last Stand is a movie with Schwarzenegger.
Oh, right.
Right. Here's what happened. He told everybody when he was going into politics that he was going to quit doing movies, but now that he's not a politician anymore, guess who's back? Funny, in that trailer, he plays a cop. He plays a sheriff of a small town. Shit hits the fan, and he has to...
A bunch of drug dealers are coming his way, running from Mexico.
Right. So he has to protect his town and thwart these drug runners. And in the trailer... they're like, hey, he gets knocked through a window. They're like, hey, Sheriff, how you doing? And he's like, I'm old. That's all he says. So, like, clearly these badasses that are appearing in movies are coming back knowing that they're too old for this. But, hey, they need jobs, too. And they can't really do anything else because that's all they've been doing their whole life. If Schwarzenegger, if he was born... in the United States, I think he would have been an okay president. minus the whole bankrupting California thing, if that's even true, I don't know.
Well, he inherited it just like everyone.
Right, and then he's blamed for making it worse when it's not his fault. But yeah, The Last Stand, that's the new one coming up with Schwarzenegger. Do you think he's seen his day? I mean, I don't know how many names he can really draw. There was a lot of Terminator references in Expendables as well. I don't know.
I don't think they'll do that in this movie because in the it's expected kind of in the premise of the film of Expendables, but in this one I don't think they're gonna draw too much attention
right.
to that. It's just another movie.
It's just another movie, but he's an old man and they make reference to that all the time. Like, we're just getting too old for this. I don't know. I think that about wraps it up. I'm trying to squeeze as much time and multitasking as I can, but just like everything, real life happens, and you guys get to hear that. So, thanks for listening. That was episode 39 for The Expendables 2. Go check us out on iTunes. Just search A Week Late, and it'll pop up. We need more subscribers and comments. AweekLate.com to stream or download the episodes for free if you don't have iTunes. Hit us up on facebook.com/aweeklatepodcast. We're also on Google Plus. Just look for us A Week Late on Google Plus. Also Fen Entertainment on Google Plus and at Fen Promos on Twitter, at A Week Late on Twitter. For my brother David and me, Darren, a.k.a. Analysis489, we will see you a week ago. Thanks for listening. Later. This episode of A Week Late is brought to you by FenEntertainment.com.
offering the very best in free independent music from the great sunny state of Florida and beyond. Download underground hip-hop, rock, industrial, drum and bass, dubstep, ska, drumstep, jungle, and much, much more. From single tracks to full sets, albums, and remixes, all for free. Plus the latest videos that get you up to speed on all the current tech, art, music, video games, TV, movies, pop culture, and even anime. No ads, no pop-ups, no flashy distraction banners, and it's absolutely free. Never a charge for anything. For all of this and for more information, go to www.fenentertainment.com.